It is once again to be in the Lord's house. My family and I, as I was traveling around preaching before I was called to pastor, we'd go into churches and we'd say, "Well, we're not going to sing tonight. Nobody knows that we sing together." And it always turns out that somebody would always know that we sang, and we'd end up having to sing. And we don't get to sing together much anymore since I'm here and they're scattered abroad, but it's always good when we can sing with our family. I'm thankful for my good family and thankful for the way that they love the Lord. But most of all, I'm thankful that I'm going to that place that I sang about. We sang the song, "Mansion Over the Hilltop." Well, I can assure you this, I've got one over there someday. The Lord's not quite finished building it, because if He was, I'd be gone to be with Him tonight. But I can guarantee you this, when I leave this world, if I walk away tonight and if you never see me again, well, if you've been saved by the grace of God, I'll be looking for you someday, and I'm thankful for that tonight. Is there anything upon your heart, anything at all, before we try to go any further? Anything on your hearts? If not, we do have a thought upon our heart tonight, and I'm sure it'll be very familiar reading. It's something that I'm sure we've all heard preached many times, but our thought would come from 2 Kings in the 5th chapter, 2 Kings in the 5th chapter. And I'd ask that if you have your Bibles to turn and read with us, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 1. And it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying thus, and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and say how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." And that's our reading lesson for tonight. It may have been a little lengthy, but 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And our thought, or our subject tonight would be, if that's what it takes. And as I thought about this, and the Lord gave us this thought the other night, and this wasn't the original verses that came to our mind, but as we were studying this morning, studying this afternoon, the Lord gave us these verses, and I thought about what Naaman was going through right here, and I thought about how this world that we live in, a lot of times people are just like Naaman in the way that we live in the world that we live in. I see here that Naaman was a mighty man, and it says he was a mighty man of valor, but it goes on to say, but he was a leper. And I want you to know and understand tonight that there are great men in this world. And tonight I want you to know and understand there's probably not a one of us that are great men in this world as far as standards go. But every single man, boy, woman, or girl will come under subjection to God one day after a while. Because we are all lepers in the sight of God. We all have a disease tonight that needs to be cleaned up. And this man named Naaman, well, I want you to know tonight that there's many people that would look upon what we do in the Missionary Baptist Church and the way that we tell people that they must be saved, while they might think we're the most foolish bunch of people that there ever has been. Why, tonight people don't want to give up their pride and they don't want to give up things of this world to seek after the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want you to know and understand tonight, when you come before the Lord, you've got to do whatever it takes to get saved. You'll never ever get saved doing it your own way. If you ever want to get saved, you'll have to come His way. And as I thought about this tonight, I believe, and if I want us to understand that this man named Naaman, he had this leprosy. And I want you to understand that if you had leprosy, you'd want to do something about it also. And so he writes a letter. They write a letter to the king, and the king gets very upset. And he asks Elisha. And Elisha sends to him, and he said, tell him to come to me. So Naaman, this great guy that he was, this great man of figure, why? He goes to Elisha. And you know what? Elisha has enough gall to do. He has enough gall to send his messenger out to him and not even go himself. Why, Naaman got really upset at what Elisha's messenger had to tell him. Why, Naaman tonight was probably upset because Elisha didn't come himself. Well, brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that God will not open up the roof of this place and say, you need to be saved. He's going to draw you by the Holy Spirit. That's the messenger of God. That's what lets you know you are lost and undone without God. And you know what? Not any one of us ever liked that message when we got it. Why, nobody ever enjoys being lost. I know that I didn't. Because there was a pain inside of me that I needed something to get rid of it. Why, Naaman wanted to get rid of this leprosy. But when he heard what he had to do, he wasn't too happy about it. Why, tonight you may be upset that you can't come down here and shake my hand and that's all that it'll be. But that will never save your soul. You've got to do what God asks of you. And we'll get to that in a few moments of time. But it says Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought surely he would come out to me and stand on and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. But what did Elisha tell Naaman to do? He says, go dip yourself seven times in the waters of Israel. Why, this just made Naaman mad. Why, surely there's something more to it than just going and dropping myself in this water seven times. Why, he got upset with what Elisha had told him he must do. But I want you to know and understand, Elisha gave him very specific instructions. Amen. Had he gone down to the waters of Israel and dipped himself six times, he'd have never been cured of leprosy. I want you to know tonight that when God draws you to an altar of prayer, you've got to come His way. Amen. You've got to come with the faith, believing that He is the Son of God and that He will save your soul. You've got to do whatever it takes. Amen. If it takes you giving up everything that you've got, do it tonight. Amen. Well, I've heard people say that they're not going to an altar. Well, bless your heart, I would never say that to God, because as sure as you say it, God's going to say, well, you're going to have to go to the altar before you get saved. Never try to barter with the Lord. It will never work. You can do whatever you want to tonight and say, I'm not going to. But when God says you're going to, you'll never get it any other way. People tonight have obscured the way of salvation. Well, they have said you can come this way or that way. That's not how I got it. I got it through the blood of Christ.
when I knelt before him and poured my heart out to him with faith, believing that he was and he will be. Well, that's the same way you've got to come tonight. I had to be just like Naaman. Well, I was mad when he let me know I was lost. Well, I was a good little boy. What had I ever done? But the Bible says that we'll all answer for our sin. When we become accountable for the sins that we have committed, we've got to do something about it. And I was mad because God said I was accountable for my sin at that time. And you know when that is. There's a separation between you and the Lord. Amen. And you're just as broken as you can be. And I appreciate it. Brother Luke's message last night on grace. Because if you're ever going to get saved, it's by His grace. It is through and by His grace that you're saved. His servants come to Naaman, and he said unto them, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" While people tonight might think the gospel that we're trying to preach is a hard gospel, well, I want you to know and understand tonight there's not a thing hard about it, really. We're the ones that make it hard. We're the ones that try to rationalize everything. I know that I do. When I was lost, I tried to do the exact same thing. I tried to figure it out with my mind, and that would never work. God's not asking us to do some great thing. He's not asking you to empty out your bank account in the offering plate. He's not asking any of those things. He's asking that you believe He's the Son of God. He's asking you to repent of your sins. And you've got to do all of those things before you get saved. But I want you to know and understand tonight. You say, "Well, preacher, you make it sound awful hard." When you get to the point when you're as broken as you can be and there's nothing left in this world for you to hold on to, that is when God will save your soul. We talk about a convicting spirit. And I want you to know and understand tonight your heart has to be broken before God will save you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that keeps a lot of people from getting saved tonight. And that's pride. People don't want to pour their heart out anymore. They don't want to cry tears. And they don't want to. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I was lost, I slung tears and slung snot all over everybody around me. And you might say, "Well, that sounds pretty gross." But I want you to know and understand, I would have done anything to get saved. And that's the exact same kind of shape you've got to get in before God will save you. It has to break everything that you are. And I'm going to read a little bit tonight about some people that God broke their wheels. And they were willing to do whatever God would have had them do to get saved. I want you to know and understand tonight that if God says go drop yourself in the waters of Israel 7 times, you better do it. You better get where God will save you. And I want you to know and understand tonight, it may not be at this altar. It may not be in your seat. But I want you to know and understand, don't you try to reason with God. Don't you try to say you're going to do it your way. You'll never ever do it that way. God has His way to do everything. And so I pray tonight that you'll consider your situation. Very familiar reading tonight. Luke chapter 19. We know about a little man named Zacchaeus. Well, don't you know where he got? He had to get where God could see him. Luke chapter 19 in the first verse. And it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. It says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him for fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as also, he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, we know that this little man, and I want you to know and understand that sometimes we have to get in places that we really think we shouldn't be, or in places that sometimes may seem a little odd to us. I've heard of different people getting saved in a lot of different places. But now I'm going to tell you tonight that Zacchaeus had obviously heard about God. And I'm going to venture to say most of you tonight have heard about God. You've probably heard about Jesus Christ and His saving power tonight. Well, I want you to know that Zacchaeus had heard all about it, and he wanted to see it firsthand. Amen. And you know how he got to see it? He had to get where God, he could see him. He had to get in a place where there was nobody else so that God could see him. Why, he had to climb up in a sycamore tree. Well, I don't know if that's the case where you're going to have to get, but you're going to have to get in a place where God can see you tonight. There was a press, there was a mass of people all around. Well, I believe God knew exactly where Zacchaeus was. And he was in a place where God could see him. Is God in a place tonight where he can see you? Why, sure he is. Amen. If he's drawing you to an altar of prayer, well, I would make haste and go seek him before it's everlasting too late. Had Zacchaeus never gotten in that tree, well, bless his heart, he would have never gotten saved. I believe that it was something that Zacchaeus had to do. It says he was a man of little stature. Well, I'm not very tall tonight. And if God was going to pass by, I'd have to get somewhere where I could see him. If that's exactly what I had to do, I want you to know, the night that the Lord saved my soul, I was willing to do anything. I was willing to give my own life, but save me first before you take it. How many of you were in that kind of shape? The hurt that was within you. Well, you had no way to get rid of it until you found the Lord. And that's the way I hope you are tonight. We back up a few verses and we read about a blind man. This blind man sat beside the wayside begging. And I want you to know and understand tonight, he could not physically see Jesus. He could not physically know that he was passing by, but he'd heard all of these people. And they'd been talking about this man of Galilee that would be coming by. And he heard that he could heal. Well, he heard these things, and I'll be honest with you, I'd have been just like he was. He was giving every ditch effort that he had to yell out and call on the name of the Lord. People were telling the blind man, just shut up. He's not going to listen to you. He has no reason to listen to a blind man. But I want you to know and understand tonight, he heard that blind man and he healed him and saved his soul. I was that blind man. When nobody else around me could help me, only God could, and he heard me crying. Amen. You're going to have to call upon the name of the Lord to get saved. Right. God has never saved a soul that didn't want to be saved first. If you don't want it, you'll never get it. And I'm going to tell you why he breaks your heart tonight. Why he breaks everything that you are. It's because he wants you to want it more than anything else in this world. Yeah. If you don't want it more than anything. And I believe this blind man, well, he never had sight. Surely he wanted to see. I'm going to tell you what, he got more than sight that night. Bless his heart, he got something that would last for all eternity. And I'm so glad that I can identify with him. It says, thy faith hath saved thee. Bless his heart. He'd heard, but he hadn't seen. I remember growing up in church, and while people would just shout the house down, and I'd think, well, they got something that I don't have. But I sure would like to have it. I was blinded. I could not see. But one day God passed by, and he opened my eyes, and I knew just exactly what they were shouting about. But I had to get in a place to do whatever it took. Amen. If it meant crying out to the Lord, if that's what I had to do, that's exactly what I had intentions of doing that night. I've seen and I've heard people that would go to the altar and they'd be just in so much trouble. Oh, and they were just crying out. And it wasn't soft cries. They were actually physically screaming and calling on the name of the Lord. If that's what it takes tonight, that's what you're going to have to do. Why, sometimes we say, well, you know what? You don't have to come to the altar and you don't have to cry. And you know what? It doesn't take any of those things. But you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Amen. If it takes all of that, you've got to be willing to do it. Thought about the Pharisee and the publican. Very familiar to us tonight. While the Pharisee, he comes in the temple. He begins to pray about how good he's been. About all of the things he's accomplished. Doesn't that sound like people tonight? Well, they'll go before the Lord and they'll say, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. Lord, I've been good. I've gone to church. I've given my offerings and all of these wonderful things. I haven't missed a service in 22 years. Look how good that I've been. Why, people are banking on that to save their souls, but it won't get them a footstep inside the gates of heaven tonight. Then we've got another little Zacchaeus over here. Another publican, a tax collector, someone that in this time period nobody would have thought much of. Well, he goes in the temple and he stands way back. He stands way back. It says he stood afar off. And he got down and he cried upon the name of the Lord. Now I want you to know and understand tonight that that Pharisee had a lot of pride. He wasn't willing to bow down and call on the name of the Lord. But that publican was. That publican was crying out and he knew just exactly the filthy, rotten sinner that he was. He knew just exactly the shape that he was in. And he knew just exactly what he needed to do to fix that. He got down on his face and he began to cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says that he went down to his house justified. That publican or that Pharisee could stand and pray all day long if he wanted to. Didn't do him any good. That publican gets into shape that he's broken and he's calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to know and understand that. You've got to be broken. Amen. These people that we're reading about, they had problems that they needed to be fixed. We've heard a lot of prayer requests tonight and in times past about people that are sick and they're afflicted. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there's nobody as sick as you are if you're in your lost condition. There's nobody tonight that's in a worse off shape than you are. Unless you call upon the name of the Lord. Thought about another lady over in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood. Why, she had tried everything to get her blood fixed up. Why, she had an issue that nobody in this world could figure out. But there, here comes Jesus passing by. And she'd heard about the good things that he'd done. And she knew that if she could just touch him, she'd be healed. She had to get where God could heal her. She had to do whatever it took. And I believe that's the same shape that you've got to get in if you just got to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. If you've got to just get there. Why, there was a lot of people around that day. And surely people were bumping into him and knocking him every which way. If you've ever been in much of a crowd, you know it don't take much for everybody to get in your personal space. And you don't really know who's touched you after a while. But he knew when she touched him. He said, the virtue has gone out of me. He knew just exactly where she was. And he knows where you're at tonight, lost friend. You can hide from me. You can hide from everybody else in this church house. But you cannot hide from God. Amen. That's the beauty of all of this. He knows exactly where you're at and how to get your attention. And if you don't think he won't do it, you just stand back and watch him. I believe that God will get your attention. Why, he sure enough got mine that night. I'm just like the writer of the 116th Psalm. The pains of hell, they got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. He knew just exactly what it would take for me to call on his name. And you know what? I prayed a lot of times. Well, I'd go to church. People come up to me and they'd say, you want to go pray? Sure, I'll go. Wasn't a bit more convicted than I could get up and fly. But I'd go and I'd pray to please him. And I wasn't seeking for salvation. I was going to please everybody else. Then there was one time. Oh, and if you could ask my parents and my grandparents, I worried them sick. Knew I was lost, but I don't guess I was worried about it until I realized. And you know, I've told this before, and I'll tell it again tonight. I thought because I had grown up in church, because I was a deacon's grandson, that surely, if anybody was going to get saved, it would be me. He didn't save me because of that. That would never work. I told you the other night that when you stand before God, the works that you do will not save you. Amen. Until one night. Why, he let me know just exactly where I was going. And I'm going to be honest with you. He can give you a vision of where you're going tonight. Yes. He can give you a very clear vision that you're on your way to a devil's hell. And I want you to know and understand tonight the politically correct thing would say, well, you know, that's a bad place. We don't want to talk about it. You're going to hell if you die in your sins and trespasses. There's just no other way for me to say it. You're dying right now and going to hell if you do not get saved. And I knew that I was. I knew where I was headed. Well, I'd heard them preach. And then here comes God, convicting me of my sins. And you know what? The altar was full of people the night that I got saved. Well, I couldn't have knocked them off there if I wanted to. But I was so broken, I bowed right on the front seat there at Pleasant Hill. And the Lord passed by. I was in a place that I'd do whatever it took to get saved. And God saved me.
Amen.
He gave me a peace that surpasses anything this world knows about. Because I was willing to do what God wanted me to. I was willing to go to that altar. Just couldn't get there. So I dropped on my knees. And I was bound and determined. Wouldn't leave until the Lord saved my soul. You're going to have to get in that shape. You can think all day long that you don't have to pray and ask the Lord to save you. That magically it'll just happen. It won't happen like that. I told you that nobody has ever been saved that didn't want to be saved. I'm going to read a few more scriptures tonight about a man who was not willing to do what God asked him to do. And I hope tonight you're not in this shape. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Familiar reading, the rich young ruler. We all know about him. Well, he comes to the Lord in the 16th verse and he says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. He saith unto him," which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Why, I want you to know and understand this rich young ruler, he had come to the Lord and he had asked, What have I got to do to be saved? And the Lord says, Keep the commandments. And I want you to know and understand tonight, there's not a one of us that could ever keep the commandments fully. And the Lord knew that he had not ever kept these commandments fully. Why, some days we might do them a little better than others, but there's no way all of your life that you can keep all of these commandments. And the Lord knew that. And he knows that you can't tonight.
Amen.
So the Lord says, all right. He knew who the man was. He knew that he was rich. He says, sell all that you have and follow me. Well, this upset this rich young ruler. Well, he thought he'd have to give everything that he had up. And I believe the world tonight thinks that once you get saved, you can't ever know what fun is again. But oh, how wrong that they are. I think people tonight really believe that they've got to give all of their things up, but you've got to be willing to give it all up.
Amen.
This man wouldn't have had to give up anything if he'd have just been willing to give it up. He'd have never had to give a dime, but he had to be willing to do it. Now, I want you to know and understand tonight, you might be thinking, well, he's teaching a work salvation. Bless your heart, no, I'm not. Because there are things that God asks of us to get saved. I believe that it takes a willing, contrite heart for someone to get saved. It has to be broken. And then I want you to know that God has to draw you to an altar of prayer. And then once you get there, you've got to repent of your sins, have faith, and believe that God is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And in all of this, when God asks you to do this, you know what God's doing on the other end? He's giving you faith to do it all. You cannot do this on your own. You've got to have help, and I believe that's where the world is getting it all wrong tonight. They believe they can do it. Well, all you got to do in people's eyes is accept the Lord. Bless your heart, if you have an acceptance salvation, you don't have what I have tonight. Who are we to accept the Lord tonight for what God has done for us? If we'll do what God asks of us, He will save our soul. He will give us peace in a world where there is no peace. I'm telling you, this rich young ruler that went away sorrowful, he didn't do what God had asked of him. And if you're here tonight and you're lost and you've been lost for any amount of time, you've not done what God has asked of you. If you have, you'd be saved tonight. I want you to have what I have. I want you to know what I know. I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to know that when you get this peace, oh, it changes everything about you. It changes your life completely. Amen. We read about Zacchaeus. Well, when he got saved, he wanted to give everything that he had back to the poor. Well, he wanted to give everything that he'd ever wrongly taken. He wanted to give it back. Brothers and sisters, saved friends, we've got to do what God asks of us also. There are times in my life that I'm not willing to do what God asks of me. We tell lost people that you must be willing to do whatever God has for you to do, but it goes the same for us tonight. It goes the same for us. When God asks us to do something, we must do it. I'm going to read you a few more verses and then I'm going to close. Sometimes in a revival service, we leave out saved people, but tonight the Lord's given us this, and we want to try to finish up here. But in James chapter 4 in the 7th verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. When we as God's people, when we will humble ourselves in the sight of God, He will lift us up. When we do what God asks of us, great things will happen, because people will know that we've been saved by the grace of God. Why, if we walk around in this world just as sad as we are, people are going to think, well, I don't want what that person has, because there's nothing about them. Brothers and sisters, we've got to do what God asks of us tonight just as much as these lost people have to do what God asked of them. I don't know what God asked of you. I know what God asked of me. I remember the first time He ever asked me, or He didn't ask me, He told me that I'd be the pastor of this church, and I was standing right here. Well, Lord have mercy, I sure wasn't willing to do that at that moment. But when God asks us to do something, if it's going to dip ourselves in the waters of Israel, as Naaman had to do to clear his leprosy 7 times, well, we better do it. Lost people, I want you to know and understand tonight, if God's asking you and drawing you to an altar of prayer, you better do it. You better seek the Lord now before it's too late. I believe that rich young ruler ran out of time. I don't believe we ever find a place where he got saved. And I want you to know tonight, you don't have to go away sorrowful. Saved people, you don't have to go away sorrowful either. We've got to do what God asked of us. He's not asking much. Naaman said, or the servant asked Naaman, or told Naaman, he said, if he'd asked you to do something great, you would have done it. But he's asking you to do something very small, and you're fussing and complaining about it. Salvation, I heard someone title a sermon one time or say it in passing, it's simple but not easy. Brothers and sisters, I believe that salvation is very simple. The way of salvation has not changed, and I'm telling you, it will never change. The same way that people had to be saved in the Old Testament is the same way we have to be saved. They had to believe that He was coming. We have to believe that He came. Don't let anybody deceive you and tell you any other way. Because what God asks of us is to have a repentant heart and a contrite spirit. And I believe when we come that way and we're willing to give up our life. The night that I got saved, I would have done anything. I'd have given Him my life. I was offering Him things that I didn't have the right to offer. I was offering Him other people's lives. I was offering Him everything under the sun. Well, I'm sure I even offered Him the little toys that I had at home because I thought maybe He might want those, and if He got that, He'd save me. You know what He wanted? He wanted my life. When I was willing to give Him that, He saved me. When we do what God asks of us, the blessings are untold. That's our message tonight. I hope and pray that it has gone and landed where it will. Let's have a song. Let's stand and sing. If you